Welcome to a deep dive, everybody, into, well, this is a new one for me, Swedish entomology journals. You know, you sent these in.
On your average light reading.
We can say that again. But hey, that's why we're here, right? To dive into the niche, the unexpected. So what have we got?
A world of passionate butterfly and moth enthusiasts. A 150-year-old mystery.
Ooh.
Even some interesting thoughts about climate change. And, of course, all with a Swedish twist.
Okay, you've piqued my interest. First up, this journal, Insectifera.
Sounds impressive, right?
Yeah, I'm not even going to try and pronounce that.
Well, it's actually the publication of a group called, well, get ready for this one, Gestriclans Entomologisca Ferenning.
Okay, I'm going to need you to break that down for me.
Basically, think of it like a club newsletter, but for, you know, insect enthusiasts.
I love it, like a secret society of bug lovers.
Exactly. Insectifera is their way of sharing their findings, their passion for the insect world. I mean, there's even a hand-drawn map and a section for membership information. It's quite charming, actually. Shows their dedication.
Okay, so we've got passionate people, a specific region of Sweden, and a whole lot of bugs. Where do we start?
Well, one article throws us right into a 150-year-old mystery.
Ooh, a mystery.
The enigma of a Calais pontini butterfly.
A mystery butterfly. All right, I'm listening.
Picture this. 1850s Swedish expedition exploring the globe. They find a unique butterfly never before documented. They name it Calais pontini, preserve the specimen, and poof, never seen again.
Wait, so there's just one of these butterflies. Where'd they find it? Was it like some, I don't know, lost jungle or something?
Originally, they thought it was Hawaii.
Really?
Which, you know, just adds to the mystery.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But our author, he's like a scientific Sherlock Holmes.
Okay.
Digging through historical records, museum collections, the whole shebang.
Love it. What'd he do? Like dust the butterfly wings for fingerprints?
He started with pollen analysis.
Okay.
You know, the idea is to see if the pollen on the butterfly matched any Hawaiian plants.
Ah, I see.
But dead end.
So not from Hawaii?
Nope.
Still fascinating, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, trying to figure out this mystery using, you know, whatever clues they can find.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it gets better. He then examined the butterfly's scent scales.
Scent scales?
These are specialized scales that release pheromones.
Okay.
And even the shape of its antenna.
Wow.
All these tiny details can tell us about a butterfly's origins behavior.
So what'd he find? Where's this mystery butterfly actually from?
He believes Calais pontini is actually from South America.
Oh, South America.
And he's got a smoking gun, a pupil case.
Which is?
It's the protective casing a caterpillar makes before it transforms.
Right, of course.
And this one was found in Sweden, bearing a striking resemblance to those of South American butterflies.
A pupil case that traveled across continents.
Okay, but how did it get there?
That's the million-dollar question, right? He thinks maybe accidentally transported through trade routes. Back then, ships were basically floating ecosystems.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. But here's the best part. To try and prove his theory, he sent a Japanese colleague on multiple expeditions to South America.
No way they actually did that. Did they find it? Did they find a living Calais pontini just hanging out in the Andes?
Well, that part remains a mystery.
Oh, come on.
But the search for Calais pontini, that's just one small piece of this entomological puzzle.
There's more.
Oh, yeah. Did you know new butterfly species are still being discovered today? The journal talks about several exciting finds in Vietnam.
Vietnam. Okay, hold on. We're jumping from a 150-year-old mystery in South America to newly discovered butterflies in Southeast Asia.
That's the beauty of this deep dive.
From a centuries-old mystery to brand new discoveries. The world of entomology never disappoints, does it? But about these Vietnamese butterflies,
yeah.
What are we talking? Like crazy colors, patterns? What?
Oh, absolutely. One of them has a wingspan almost the size of a playing card.
Wow, that's huge. Why are we still finding new butterfly species in places like Vietnam? And you mentioned the Andes earlier.
It's all about something called biodiversity hotspots. So these are regions around the world that just have this incredible variety of plant and animal life. Much, much higher than you'd find elsewhere. Think, you know, rainforests, coral reefs, even mountain ranges.
Okay.
They're like treasure chests of biodiversity.
Mm-hmm.
And because there's so much life packed into these areas, we're constantly finding new species.
That makes sense. But aren't these hotspots, I mean, they're facing all sorts of threats, right? Climate change, deforestation. I can't even imagine what that's like for the entomologists working in those areas.
Yeah, it's a huge challenge.
Yeah.
And speaking of climate change, our Swedish author, actually, he doesn't shy away from that topic at all.
Oh, really?
He's noticed some pretty big changes in Gestreklin's climate, just in his lifetime.
What kind of changes?
He talks about these really hot summers, milder winters, intense storms even, stuff that just wasn't as common in the past.
Wow.
And he's convinced that these changes are impacting the local butterfly populations.
He's basically using butterflies as an indicator for how healthy the environment is.
Exactly.
That's fascinating.
It's really smart. And he's very meticulous about it, too. Like, he keeps track of the butterfly numbers, you know.
Oh, wow.
When certain species thrive or when they decline, when they disappear completely.
So the butterflies are actually giving us clues about how climate change is impacting the region. That's amazing.
It is. But there's a bit of a twist. The author, he has a bit of a different take on climate change.
Oh, really?
How so? He sees it. Well, he approaches it from more of a geological perspective.
Yeah.
He points out that the Earth has gone through these cycles of, you know, warming and cooling for millions of years.
Right.
Long before, you know, we were around.
So he's not convinced that human activity is the main cause.
I wouldn't say that. It's more nuanced.
Okay.
He doesn't deny that humans have an impact, but he sees it as part of a much larger natural cycle.
I see.
Like, he uses the example of the shrinking ice cap on Kilimanjaro
right.
as evidence of this warming trend, but a warming trend that's happening globally.
So he's not denying the science, but he's offering a different way of looking at it, like maybe urging a little bit of caution about jumping to conclusions.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
It's like what we always say, you know, it's about considering multiple perspectives, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But speaking of perspectives, let's zoom back in on Gestreklin for a second.
Okay.
Remember we were talking about the black-veined white butterfly before?
Oh, right. The landscape insect. Yeah. What was it about that butterfly again?
Well, for one, it's a social butterfly. Literally.
What?
Yeah. Unlike a lot of butterfly species that are solitary creatures, the black-veined whites, they actually congregate in large numbers.
Really?
Yeah. They're known to do that.
So they, like, hang out together.
Yeah. And the journal, actually, it has these wonderful descriptions of these black-veined white gatherings.
Oh, I love it.
They'll often gather on damp ground to sip water and nutrients.
Hmm.
Which is actually, it's a behavior that's more common in tropical butterflies.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, makes you think.
It does. And their populations, they fluctuate quite a bit, right?
Yeah, they do. He dedicates a whole section to tracking their population over time.
How does he?
He's noticed that certain weather patterns can really impact their breeding success.
Like what?
He mentioned like a dry spring, for example.
Ah, okay.
Can really affect them.
Wow. It's just amazing how much detail he includes, you know. He's not just looking at the butterflies themselves, but the weather, the plants, you know, everything.
It's all connected, right? Like, he has this whole other section where he's talking about this plant. It's called Cecily libanotis.
I'm not even going to try that one.
Don't worry about it. But basically, he found caterpillars on it.
Okay.
And not the kind that you'd typically find on that plant.
So, like, the wrong caterpillars?
Maybe. Or maybe it's just a sign of how adaptable nature can be.
That's a good point.
Right. Either way, it's fascinating stuff.
It really is. It's a good reminder that, you know, even in a place like Sweden, the natural world is always full of surprises.
Absolutely. And he also mentions the Gestreklin's Entomologiska Föreningen's annual meeting.
Oh, right.
Where all the members, they get together and share their latest findings.
I bet that's a lively event.
Sounds like it. One member brought a box of his prized wood-boring beetle specimens.
Wow. You know, I never thought I'd say this, but wood-boring beetles actually sound kind of fascinating right now.
Right. It's really the passion that shines through in this journal for all insects, not just butterflies and moths.
You know what? It's contagious. I got to be honest. I started this deep dive thinking Swedish entomology journals, really?
Yeah.
But I've been hooked this whole time. Their passion, the dedication to this little corner of the natural world, it's inspiring.
It really is. Shows the power of curiosity.
Absolutely. Well, as we wrap up this deep dive into the incredible world of Insectifera, I have one question for you, our listeners. What hidden wonders are waiting to be discovered right where you are? Maybe it's a unique species of butterfly, a rare plant, or maybe even your own local community of passionate nature enthusiasts. Keep your eyes open, ask questions, and never stop exploring.